Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tunnell. For today, Sunday, February 17th, we wanted to have a little beauty and tax talk tonight, but before we get into the tonight's conversation, just want to remind you all that the number to call in if you have a comment or a question is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. You can also join us in the chat room where my sister Denise is handling all the questions there, and she has a little beauty news for us right now.
Yes, just wanted to remind everyone of the Makeup Show LA coming up on Saturday and Sunday, March 2nd and 3rd. So that's just in a couple of weeks. If you need more information on how to purchase your tickets, you can go to themakeupshow.com. And once again, the Fame Expo, which will take place in June of this year, June 29th and 30th in Los Angeles, well, in Pasadena, California, and information on how to purchase tickets for that expo and also to get hotel information, because I do know for sure that those hotels are filling up fast for that expo. So if you want to get information on that, please check out PHAMEXPO.com for information on the Fame Expo. And while we have Marietta Carter on the line, I want to include her in the beauty news. And if you can just give us a little information, Marietta, about your makeup artist planner so that they're not just hearing it from me every week and they can finally hear it from you. If you could give us a little information on your planner, what inspired you to do it, because I love it. I'm referring to it like every day. So.
You know, I got inspired to do it because I realized that all of our information is so scattered that we don't have information in one set place. So even if you know of a show, you really don't know when it is. Or if you don't know of a show, you don't even know where to look to find out what shows are going on in reference to our industry. So that was like my big inspiration, to put all the dates and all the major shows and all the major events that take place for makeup artists, especially those coming out of school, and even those who have been in the industry for a really long time, in one central location so that you can find it. And then I wanted to have inspirational quotes for, you know, up-and-coming artists who really, you know, when they get down and out, there's something to keep them going. And also incentive to create an action plan and to check yourself 6 months down the road and at the end of the year and, you know, really – give yourself that extra rectum rocket that you need to get going. And just, you know, a list of all the products, a lot of products that I've tried and really love, and they might not be mainstream, so some people might not know that they exist. So just a lot of different things really propelled me into doing this.
Right. Lovely, lovely. Just wanted everyone to hear it from you.
Oh, and it's available at www.mariettacarter-nurses.com, and you can go on there and, you know, and make your purchase.
And I'll be purchasing mine really soon.
What?
I said I'll be purchasing mine really soon.
I spent the whole day filling orders today. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
for those of you who are interested in winning one-day passes to the Fame Expo, you can call into the show tonight at 914-803-4399 and just let us know how you think the show will benefit you as far as learning and you know, helping to develop your career. Or you can join us in the chat room as well and leave that same information.
All right. Thank you very much. Tonight's show, we have been talking about doing this for a while now, and then I missed your class, Marietta, last Saturday.
Yeah.
And my sister told me she spoke with you, so we thought it would be great to just bring you on. You can share some of the information for those who may have missed your class, but we just wanted to bring it all together. I just wanted to start off. One of the things I hear a lot of people always ask is, what kind of records do I need to keep? And for those of you who don't really know what to keep, and, well, of course, you're not going to be able to hear me. If you don't hear me tonight, then you won't know. But for those of you, both people who may not hear this show tonight and who have that question, the best thing to do is to keep all receipts until you figure it out. But I like to always follow the Schedule C, which is the Form 1040, Schedule C, which is profit or loss from business. And pretty much on that schedule, you have in the expense section pretty much a lot of the expenses that we come across. And it deals with, you know, your advertising expenses. And then there's some things that's not related to makeup. Well, it is if it's in regards to your business. People think like car expenses. They're thinking like just their regular car expenses, like when they went to get a tune-up or oil change. If that doesn't have anything to do with your business and the business use of your car, then that doesn't count. But they have advertising, car expenses. And in car expenses, some people don't know that you can keep your gas receipts. But you can't record car expenses that are business-related and gas receipts that are business-related. You have to choose one or the other.
Say that again. You can't do what?
You can't record gas receipts that are business-related and your car expenses that are
like
business-related.
Repairs.
Yeah, like repairs, right.
Oh.
You can't report both of those. You have to choose one or the other. So that's why it's good to total up, you know, your car receipts, I mean your gas receipts, just in case you didn't have a lot of car expenses. Also, there's things like your office expenses, taxes and licenses in regards to your business, your travel, meals, and entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we all know about that. Then you're thinking about, like, for instance, if you've had any services, like if you've had an accountant, used an accountant throughout the year that was in regards to your business, you want to record the amounts that you paid there. Any legal?
Lawyer.
Yes.
Yeah. So in the form, it'll say legal and professional services. So that's where your accountant, your lawyer, all of that would go. Insurance, any insurance that you paid that was business-related, rent or leases.
Can I interrupt you right
sure.
here for a minute?
Sure.
Well, if you're paying for your own insurance because you're a freelancer, and chances are you're not insured on anybody else, or if you're not in the union, and you're paying for your own insurance. I mean, that's all your medical expenses right there.
Well, no, I'm sorry. Let me go back. It says insurance other than health.
Okay. Got you.
I
wasn't sure where. You're following the form.
Right. I do report what I pay for health expenses, but that's not on this particular form.
Right. Okay.
Right.
Got you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just use this as a guide for those who just don't know what, you know, information to keep or to, you know, to provide. There's a lot of things, like, for instance, a freelancer may not get into, like, for instance, we may not have mortgages for business, you know, things like that. But your basics, your advertising, your office expenses, your taxes and your professional services. And also, if you make sure you go and get a Pub 17, and then there's one for business. And I can't, before the show is over, I'll get the number for you, what the publication number is, and it talks about all of your business expenses. And then you'll be able to also find out your mileage rate for the year that you can use for your business mileage. I don't know if some people report that or not, but you can. So just make sure that you're reporting those things. There's a lot of things that people just don't realize they need to track or keep receipts for.
Can I say something? Well, mm-hmm. Speaking of the mileage expenses, if you are, let's say you're working on a film or a television show or something, or you're just working on a project where you're traveling, you know, to a certain place every day or to a different place every day or a couple of times a week, you know, when you if you get a call sheet and it has that address on it, that's a good, you know, that's something good to keep for your taxes, so that if you choose to write off your mileage, then you actually have the actual address of where you're going every day, you know, and you can give like that round trip, you can take that round trip mileage and add that up.
Why would you not want to write it off?
Hey, so again, some people don't know. And also, if you write off the expenses for your car expenses for like your maintenance and things like that, again, you have to choose between that mileage or those other car expenses. So if you choose to do your car expenses, then you can't do your mileage.
I mean, I would think that I mean, other than just basic routine maintenance, your mileage would probably add up to more than your car expenses.
Right.
Well, it depends.
Exactly.
If you're someone who doesn't work that often or doesn't work like every single day, then you know, maybe it may not. It may not, because
that's
I don't
true,
know.
That's true.
But
I think
you can use. Those call sheets to, you know, kind of be your backup to show exactly where you're traveling. And, it, you know, it's just a good basis for you to look back at where you traveled to, and you don't have to necessarily write it down somewhere. It's always good to save those call sheets for that purpose.
Right, but if you don't have call sheets, then you really need to be keeping track. That's where my trailer comes in handy.
Exactly. I was just about to say, that's exactly where that planner comes in handy. You just, on that particular date that you worked, you just write down the address where you traveled and
right.
that job.
You even might have gone out for consultation to a bride or something, you know what I mean? And
right.
sometimes, you know, you might do a 2 or 3 consultations a week. You got to be able to keep track of all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And just, I just mentioned a few minutes ago the different publications. There are two publications that I love to refer to, and it's Publication 334, which is Tax Guide for Small Businesses, and then Publication 535 for, that's the tax guide with your business expenses. So I'll put it in the chat room, but I'll also repeat it again a couple of times throughout the show. Publication 334 is the Tax Guide for Small Business. And then Publication 535 is your business expenses. And I would really urge people to check those out online if you can't get a actual physical copy of those. Don't assume anything. Don't assume just because you spent money for your business doing something that you can write it off. Because there's a lot of things that you can write off, but then there are a lot of limitations to what you can write off. Again, yes, you may be able to write it off, but only up into a certain dollar amount. So you have to be really careful with your business expenses. So it's good to go out there and check those out just to be sure about what you're writing off. So let's see, what else do we have here? Then, Marietta, what topics did you cover?
I just
pretty much one of the big things I talked a lot about was the fact that if you're getting a lot of 1099s, you need to understand what a 1099 is and what a W-2 form is, so that, you know, at the end of the year, if you've got more 1099s than W-2s, of which a lot of us that freelance do, you've got to have receipts to offset.
Right.
Those 1099s, is not, you're going to be coughing up quite a bit of money.
Right.
And so you really have to keep track of what you're doing, and you know, as you were mentioning, understanding that, you know, your website is advertising, that's part of your business. I mean, mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing is to understand that you are running a business.
Right.
And that you are the CEO of your business. So your website, brochures, flyers, business cards, any kind of promotional stuff that you do throughout the course of the year, those are all business expenses to build and advertise your business. And those are crucial things that you should keep track of.
Right.
Because they're an integral part of your business. You know, the book that you buy to keep track. I mean, even my planner is that's a tax deduction, because, I mean, any of the makeup shows that you go to, those makeup shows that you attend, any of the classes that you attend throughout the course of the year to help build yourself as an individual, you know,
right.
Those are all part of building your business.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of people don't understand a lot of that. They don't understand, you know, all of those little things, you know, the magazine subscriptions that you do, whether it be online or a physical subscription that comes in the mail. When you attend
right.
the makeup shows you attend, you fly out, you take
right.
a hotel room, your airfare,
yep.
you know, your baggage that you check, all of that stuff.
Absolutely.
Adds up,
absolutely.
You know, when you step into CVS and Rite Aid and all of them, and, you know, or Walgreens, and you know, or Walmart, or any of the stores you go to, and you might pick up a bunch of stuff, but then you end up picking up a couple of mascaras and
mm-hmm.
you know, sponges and all that kind of, all those things, all those sponges, those are part of your business.
And speaking of that, so when you go there, you know, you make sure you keep that receipt again, because the sponges and the mascara,
yeah.
are for business purposes. But for those of you who intentionally go there looking for those things, make sure you write down that was business mileage.
Right,
now,
exactly.
If you went there for personal items and you wind up picking up stuff that you're going to use for work purposes, then you can't use that as business mileage, but, of course, you can use those items as business expenses.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
And I'm just talking about the honest folks who are just straight honest by the book. You know, you went there for personal items, but these are some business expenses. You know, you don't write that off as business mileage. You know, if you choose to, then hey, that's you, whatever. But my thing is that date that you drove there is going to match up with some receipt, some kind of way. So if this receipt is showing showing personal items and business items, you could either say, if you were ever audited, you could say that you went there for personal items and picked up business things, or you could say that you went there for business and picked up personal items. Doesn't matter. Just make sure it all lines up is what I'm saying.
Has to make sense at the end of the day.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And another thing about those 1099s, especially for those of us who work on film and television and we get a box rental, at the end of the year when they're sending out your W-2s for the show, you'll also get a 1099 for your box rental amount. And as you know, the different payroll companies that are used for, you know, feature film and television, they're considered your employer.
Yep.
You know, they're considered your employer. So you'll get something from them. And, for instance, if you worked on the movie Flight and the payroll company was Entertainment Partners, And then you turned around and you later on worked on another movie and entertainment partners with the payroll company. You got box rentals from both projects. Now, if your box rental for a flight was $300, so you see you get the you get the 1099 and you say, okay, it's only $300. I don't have to report this. But if you turned around on movie number two, the payroll company was entertainment partners, and that box rental was $300. That's a total of $600 from that same employer. So you do actually have to report it. So we have to make sure that you're not just looking at each individual 1099 and say, okay, this is only $300. I don't have to report this. This is $700. I have
but
to report
you're not,
that.
You're not going to get – can I interrupt you? You're not going to get a 1099 if it's under $600.
Oh, you will. You will. I do.
You mean for your box rental?
Uh-huh, from a box rental.
Oh, for the box rental. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry, for your box rental. I was thinking for 1099 just in general because in general
– Oh, no.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
In general, they're not going to send it. But if it's just for your box rental, they will send it. So just make sure that you're paying attention to that. Just because it's two different projects, but if it's that same payroll company, that's considered, you have to add those up. So you just have to pay attention to that. And some things, just letting people know, some things may get past the IRS and they may not notice it or something like that. But you just want to make sure that you're careful and that you go by the book as much as you know how because you never know when there's a random audit or something like that comes up and they catch some mistakes, and then you go back and, something you didn't do or should have done or whatever. So just make sure you, to the best of your ability, go by the book as much as possible.
Yeah, because I've been audited before, and it's not cute at all.
I've been a couple of times. I have been a couple of times. And the first time I was very, very nervous, but I kept everything. This is way when I first started, and I went in with, like, two boxes filled with stuff, and literally the guy, the IRS guy looked at me, he said, what you doing with all that? He didn't say it so nicely, though. He said, what the F are you going to do with all that? I'm not looking through that crap, because I brought everything with me. He said, I want to know. So he pulled out my planner, and he goes, because at the time I was detailing for a hair care company, and he's like, so what you doing here? And I had all my notes and stuff, and he goes, well, and I had on there, do so-and-so's hair. He said, well, did you get paid? I said, no, we bartered. He goes, you did you? Well, did you know that bartering is taxable?
Mm.
I was like, oh, my goodness. So after that, I was very careful how I phrased what I wrote down in my book. Because if you barter with somebody, like you say, oh, I'll do this for you, you do this to me, that is taxable by the IRS.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you did, like, if I came over and you did my makeup and I braided your hair, you know what I mean?
Right.
But there's a dollar value that can be added to that.
To that, right. Right.
So
wow.
You didn't barter. You just did it as a gesture. You just did it. You didn't barter. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's really the way around that. Because from the moment you put bartering in there, from the moment you put that in there, it's no good.
Right.
Yeah.
One thing that a lot of us get mixed up with is that there's a lot of us who will write off our wardrobe. I had to get my nails done and my hair done because, we work in beauty, so we have to look good. So everything that I bought, the outfit, the shoes, the makeup, I got my lash extensions done, my hair done, got my nails done. None of that matters. You can't write it off. I've known so many makeup artists who have, and there are some, a lot of them who try, you can't do it. Can't do
Why
it.
Why not?
They, it's just something that they don't do. They you know, it's not a write-off.
Let me tell you also, because this is something that I thought I could do. Like, you know, when you're, especially like when you're freelance and you know how you're required to wear all this black and you go out and you buy, you know, all this black clothing. And you're thinking, okay, I'm buying it for work, so I should be able to write it off. Well, you can't do that either. Trust me, I know I've been audited and, you know, I ended up having to pay some of that money back. So
I thought it was only if you couldn't wear those clothing anyplace else.
Nope. This is the thing. It has to be a uniform. If the company's name was sewn onto those clothing of mine, then I could write it off. But if the company's name is not sewn on there or something like that, then you can't do it.
Mm-hmm. And
there's a lot of stuff that people are writing off, and you know, you just can't. The IRS has a whole bunch of rules that we know nothing about, and you have people out there preparing taxes and who work specifically with people who are freelance makeup artists and hair people, and they'll write off just about anything for you. And people are getting all this money back thinking, okay, I can write this off, I can write that off. And, you know, by law, you really can't.
And because she said that, that's one thing that you have to pay attention to, because a lot of times there are accountants out there who don't really understand
our industry.
And so just because you go to them and they're an accountant and they do taxes all the time, doesn't mean that, and say, for instance, you give them all these receipts for clothing and they write it off, you're thinking, oh, it's fine, it's okay. They don't understand our industry. So a lot of times you find yourself having to tell them, you know, you have to go in and tell them about our industry, you know, and maybe they'll start looking into it a little more, you know, because they may write some things off or do some things that really doesn't apply to us. So you want to be careful of that. You have to be careful of that.
And another thing that we can write off are professional organizations. Like if you're a member of, you know, PPA or NCA or NADIS or, you know, the union.
Well, you belong to the union, you pay your dues and everything and stuff. And I belong to the academy and my dues to the academy and all that. That's all.
Right. Memberships. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my renewal for my license, all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
My cosmetology license or esthetician license and all of that. That's all, to me, that's all part of.
Yep.
Yes. When you renew all that, exactly.
Absolutely. Your subscriptions to your industry-related magazines.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are subscribed to Makeup Artist Magazine or On Makeup Magazine, that's part of it.
Allure, any of them.
All the beauty magazines and stuff.
Yeah.
Anything that you use for research, DVDs.
My movies, when I go to the movies, I'm a film makeup artist. When I go to the movies, I put all that in.
And you know what? And I haven't heard anything about that, but I'm pretty sure you can write that off as a film makeup artist. I mean, you know, and going back to that Schedule C, you could probably put that on your entertainment line there, and because it is, you know, related to your industry, you should definitely be able to get away with that. A lot of people go and buy movie DVDs that they worked on. Like if you worked on, let's say, use Flight again, if you worked on Flight and when it came out on DVD, they would go and they would purchase that DVD because it's their work on it. So a lot of people have a certain number of DVDs that they write off.
A portion of your cable bill.
your cable, your telephone.
Oh,
yeah, your telephone, sure.
The internet service, my office. I have a full home office that is a designated room. It is a full office. Library,
yeah.
My printer, my inks, the inks alone.
Yeah.
Oh, $100 a pop for 4 cartridges. For, you know, $100 for each cartridge.
Yeah.
The whole office, my scanner, my telephone. I mean, I've got 2 scanners. The telephone, the printer, all of that stuff, all the computer maintenance, all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
I record that under the office expense.
Mm-hmm.
Office expenses on there.
Postage, if you pay postage to mail, because there are companies who want you to mail your invoices in, even though it's 2013, they don't want them in email. Some of them want you to physically mail them.
Mm-hmm.
That's all part of your deductions too.
Right. I mean, the paper, your pens, your tape, staples, any of that stuff.
I mean, your portfolio, if you have pictures printed, all the videotape, like when you buy a camera and you videotape stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Your printing, like Kinko's, Office Depot, all of that stuff. Like you said, your internet, if you have a little wireless card, all of that's deductible. Your supplies, like your external hard drives, your mouses, your software, and also, you know, they can take depreciation on your computer. If you buy a brand new computer that year or a brand new tablet, you know.
Your iPad,
if you buy a new cell phone. I mean, I write off my cell phone. Your software.
Your flash drive. All of that stuff.
Your flash drive. All of it. Your little SD cards. All of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because I just bought a terabyte flash drive because I got too many photos on my computer.
Right.
And so I have to take them off.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Exactly. Yep. Yep. I think I have a 2 terabyte external hard drive. All of that stuff you can write off.
Yeah. All of those things. You know. But I think the biggest thing is to understand that you're running a business and you need to keep track of.
Right. Absolutely. That's the bottom line. Like you said earlier, that's the bottom line.
Right.
You know, you're running a business.
And when in doubt, just keep everything.
That's what I was saying. When in doubt, just keep everything, and then you can sort it out later. But you don't want to get to the end of the year and, you know, throw away all the important receipts that you could definitely be using. Because just like Marietta was saying, as a freelancer, you're going to get more 1099s than anything. And if you get those 1099s, you're definitely going to need something to offset that income because, you don't have taxes coming out.
Just for those people who are, like, in the union, when you when you're working a job and you complete one job and, you haven't started anything right away, you know, some people like to go to unemployment and collect unemployment until they get on their next job. One thing I must stress is please make sure you have to take taxes out.
Yes.
Yep. It's taxable.
Yes. Please have them take taxes out. I know the state of Georgia automatically takes, Georgia state taxes out. But, in addition, have them take federal taxes out as well so that in the end, when you get the 1099 from that state, you know, you're not shocked if you have to pay back money on that unemployment.
Right.
So please just take something out.
I know with the state of Maryland, they once you initiate the process, you sign up and open up a new claim, they will send you paperwork asking you if you would like to have taxes taken out, and then you can tell them, how much or what have you, which I think is a great idea. I like the fact that the state of Georgia automatically, they don't even give you an option. They just take it. But it's important that they do.
Yeah, they automatically take out state taxes but give you the option on federal.
Oh, okay, got you. Okay. Yeah, it's important that you do. I would rather just kind of take the money. It's not a whole lot, and I would just rather not have it then than on the end, because on the end, that's when it seems like it's really a lot.
Right.
On the back end. Yeah. So it's important. And for those of us like who attend the trade shows, sometimes a lot of us go to the trade shows, if you're press or if you're a blogger, you know, if you're bloggers or and a lot of times or if you're an instructor, and a lot of times the vendors give you a lot of stuff, and so when you leave there you feel like, well, I don't have to buy anything because I was given stuff. Let me tell you, every trade show that I attend, I make sure that I buy some stuff, because sometimes you can go and sit around throughout the whole year and not have to buy makeup because you have all this product support on the films. You go to the trade shows and they're giving you stuff. And so, like, I have all this makeup, all this stuff that was given to me. I don't have to buy anything. But yet, at the end of the year, I don't have anything to write off. So just a word to the wise, just try to make sure that every once in a while you go out and you buy something. Just so that, you know.
Faster, yeah.
Yeah, so that you have a little something. Because, I mean, it could be a lot when you don't. It really can. It can definitely be a lot.
It starts to add up.
Mm-hmm. It does. It adds up. And I always suggest, especially with the state, they seem to be a little harder with the taxes of the state. I always suggest claiming as close to zero as possible when it comes to your state. It'll get you on the end, on the back end. When I've just learned a long time ago to just always claim as close to zero as possible for the state and federal if you can, but definitely your state. Yeah.
Now, Marianne, in your class, did you speak in details about any start paperwork when filling out start paperwork, anything with your
W-9? I did speak a little bit about it, not as much, because this was only, I didn't have enough time.
Right.
But understanding, you know, so I didn't go into details. I usually go into details in my business class with that one. With all the start paperwork.
Okay.
Because it can be so much. I mean, like, you work for Sony, and it's like filling out a 50-page booklet.
Mm-hmm.
And now Sony's just changed a lot of their rules and stuff, and as far as how they pay you, how the kit rental is done, they put a cap on kit rental now. The way that not only the kit rental, but the way that the hourly guarantees and stuff, all that's changed at Sony.
You said at Sony?
Yep, at Sony. Mm-hmm.
Wow, I wonder what brought that on.
I don't know.
The IRS brought the whole kit rental thing on. So, I mean, they're all of the studios now are, you know, you have to turn in a weekly invoice and all that. So.
And there's a cap to kit rentals.
Really? Yep. What's the cap?
Well, Sony, like in certain instances, it's like $17,000, $10,000.
Per year?
For your kit rental. No, it's like the total that you turn in.
Mm-hmm.
Like saying your kit, how much your kit is worth.
I see what you're saying, the value of your kit.
Value of your kit, yes, there's a cap to that.
Oh, I see. I thought you meant the amount that the production could give you.
But the value, and it's proportional, the amount, like if you get $200 kit rental, so the cap might be $17,000 total that your kit is valued.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I see.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm just doing deals with them, like, about 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. So if your kit is valued at $20,000, they're gonna cap off at $17,000.
Yeah, around there. It depends on the who you're dealing with. It, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it depends on if you're working as a star request or if you're working just strictly as a department head or a key makeup artist or an additional artist. Yeah, it depends on. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, the flexibility comes with the clout.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So the higher up your position, the more flexibility you have with that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Gotcha. Okay. And that change, that's stated in all the contracts with Sony now?
Yes.
Okay. So you'll be able to see that. Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. Or the hourly, no more 12-hour guarantees and things like that.
So what are the guarantees now?
The eight hour guarantee. You can get paid, you know what I mean, which is just typical union guarantee, 8 hours. But
right.
You do 10 hours, you get paid 10 hours at straight time.
Oh, you can get paid 10 hours at straight time.
Yes.
Wow. That's interesting.
A lot is changing, honey.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, a lot is changing.
So many production companies and studios, so I guess there's so many people like cutting back for whatever their reasons, but it's interesting. It's something that we need to be aware of and pay attention to. Because you go in there and you're just assuming everything is still the same.
Well, that's the thing. A lot of people don't realize how much is changing. I mean, even I just dealt with, like, with you know, Condé Nast has so many magazines under them. And even, like, each magazine has a different way they do it.
Right.
I mean, I just dealt with 3 magazines with them, and literally one of them wanted you to mail the invoices in.
Hmm.
You know, and I mean, I just had to resubmit invoices that I had submitted 3 months ago.
Hmm.
It has just been just an absolute nightmare, to tell you the truth. And then Sony, and then I've been dealing with the Weinstein Company, and the Weinstein Company has been a nightmare to deal with, I got to tell you. They've been an absolute nightmare to deal with. And, I mean, I've been doing this a long time. And I know how to bogart my way through a system. But I got to tell you, it's like I've pulled several of my dreads out recently. I mean, I finally sent an email saying, I mean, who came up with this crazy system that people who make an honest living got to beg for their money?
Right.
I mean, I said, the work was done. It was done honestly. Why do I have to beg you to get paid?
Good point.
Why? I mean, I could not believe. And then I said, well, you're going to walk this check through the accounting department, you know? You're going to walk this through the system for me. I can't do it. What do you mean you can't do it? I said, well, point me to accountant. Because if you can't do it, you point me to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, you know what, guys? You got to overnight this to me because this is insane. Why do people have to wait so long to get paid because of your errors? So, you know, I mean, these are humongous companies. We're not talking little fly-by-night companies either.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're talking with, you know, big companies with big people. So it's like, I mean, it's such a cat and mouse game.
Right.
So it's like understanding all the different bits and pieces of paperwork and Sony has a lot of non-disclosure clauses and all sorts of stuff. I mean, 50 pages of, you know, I mean, it's like you sign your child away with Sony.
Right, right.
I mean, there's a lot of paperwork to fill out. And, you know, for those of you who really haven't worked in the industry, you really got to understand that every job you do as a freelancer, you have to prove that you have the legal right to work in the United States. I mean, which
right.
to me is the most stupid thing on the planet. If you are an American, you are legally born here, you have that right. Why do you have to keep proving it?
Right.
I mean, it makes no sense to me. I mean, you fill out the same paperwork over and over and over again, which is like, I mean, what happened to the Paper Reduction Act?
Right.
I mean, there's a difference between somebody who's working on an I-9 form who comes into the U.S. to, you know, if you are a United States citizen, you have the right to work here, period.
Right. That's right.
I
said that's right.
I mean, I don't understand it. I don't understand why the constant having to prove that you can, you know what I mean?
Right.
That documentation should be for people who don't have that right. I mean, if I prove to you that I was a U.S. citizen, you know, 3 months ago, what has changed? I didn't lose my citizenship. So why do I have to prove it again to you?
Right.
And to me, there should be something that documents that where you don't have to do that over and over again. I don't understand it. I never will, I guess.
So true. But, you know, it's really important that that we, especially those of us who work in film and television, when we're filling out that paperwork, a lot of times we fly through it and don't really pay a lot of attention to the fine print. Or
yep.
sometimes you have these little five-page packets with all this fine print, and you're like, I'm not reading through 5 pages of that.
You better
get
read them and you
to,
better copy them.
That's right. Get used to reading through those pages of the fine print. Because just like we said, there are a lot of things that are changing. There's a lot of things that they're requiring us not to do, and we have to sign these statements saying that we won't talk to this one and we won't talk to that one. We won't post pictures here and we won't post pictures there.
That's a big thing, too.
That's a big issue now, and you just have to be careful. So start reading everything. Start reading the fine print. You just don't know what you're signing your life to, or you're signing something, you don't know what it says, and then let something go down on the film project and you get fired or something. Your union can't help you because you signed the form. Just because you read it doesn't mean, you know, everything's okay. So you have to know what you're signing. So we have to just get in the habit of making sure we read it. And if you're only coming in for one day, then take a good portion of that day to read everything. If you're there for the duration of the show, you can fill out your paperwork on the first day. Don't turn it in until after you've read everything.
And because that is your responsibility.
It really is. It really is.
You know, it's nobody else's responsibility. That's your responsibility.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't realize that there's so many little things that you, like you said, you need to keep track of.
Right.
You know, and you know, if you've never made up a kit rental list, you need to make one up.
Absolutely, because you'll definitely need to turn one in if you're working on a union project, so.
Yeah,
you may as well get in the habit of just having one.
Even a non-union project, you need to turn one in. You know, you should really put those together, and you should really understand, like you said, how many deductions you're going to make.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and things like that. You really got to understand all of that. And that's something that we really don't pay close attention to.
No, we really don't. We really don't. And it's just, we really have to start because the industry is changing in so many ways, and while we're saying this, it's your responsibility, when you get on a film project, particularly film project, because this is where I see a lot of this, you get on a film television project, and if I'm the department head or if I'm the key and I call you in to work or call you and let's say three or four other people, when I call you and I tell you what the rate is and I tell you what your box rental or kit fee is going to be, then it's up to you to remember that information. When you're sitting around, you and the other people are sitting around filling out your paperwork, don't ask them, What's my rate or what's our rate?
Because it might be different.
Because it may be different. I remember working on a movie in Wilmington, North Carolina. There were makeup artists from New York. I came from Maryland. There were some local North Carolina people, and everybody's contract was different because of a local standard areas agreement. Everybody's contract was different. I couldn't sit around and think my rate or box rental was the same as theirs, and the North Carolina girls couldn't sit around and think that their rate was the same as mine. So you have to be careful with that kind of thing, but you have to be on it, and you have to be responsible for you and you only. The department head and the key are not getting paid the same rate. The key and the third is not getting paid the same rate. There are sometimes when the third and the additionals are being paid the same, and then there are sometimes when the third and the additionals are being paid differently. So every job is different, every contract is different, every position is different. So you just have to be responsible for yourself. And don't ask the other additionals. If you're an additional, don't ask the other additionals what your rate is. If you forgot, then you go to
the UPM.
The
department head or the UPM.
Right.
So the department head should know what your rate is.
Right. Absolutely. So, you know, it's just those kind of things that you have to just watch out for and be careful with. it can really be an issue, you know, because I remember on that particular North Carolina project, there was somebody, you know, asking what's my rate, and somebody from somewhere else told her what their rate was, and then when they found out what their rate really was, and they were wondering why the other person was getting paid differently, and then they were all up in the air, and it got back to the department head, and she's pretty much saying, you know, you shouldn't be telling this, you know, one person shouldn't be telling the other person what their rate is, and it's just a mess. So, like you said, go to either department head or the UPM, but just like you said, go to the UPM. That's who's going to really know for sure.
Right.
So you just have to.
The industry is changing a lot.
Mhm. Mhm.
It's changing a lot.
All I can say is the best way to keep up with your taxes: go out, purchase the makeup weekly planner. I think that's the best way to keep track.
The union and local 706 sends out a book, a little calendar, for you to keep. The whole purpose is for you to keep track of your hours in there on a regular basis.
Exactly. So that's my situation now. I have three planners,
but theirs is so small. that.
Yeah, exactly.
I like yours because I have more room to write now because, you know.
Exactly. That's the thing. You have more room to write into this one. And also you have the forms in the back as well to keep track of, you know, how much money you're bringing in, how much money you're spending. So it helps.
And you know, one of the things is at the end of the year, if you have a system, that's one of the things I discuss in my classes for the business class, but when you keep track, if you've got 30 jobs that paid you $600 and above, you should have 30 1099s.
Right.
To match it to that, if you're not getting W-2s. They should match up at the end of the year.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. And that's how I'm keeping track of that. That's exactly how I'm keeping track of that.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's your business and your responsibility, bottom line.
Yep. Even if you hate taxes, that's fine. You don't have to prepare them. You can take them somewhere to get them prepared. But at least have your information in order to take with you when you're going to get them prepared. That part is your responsibility.
But you know what? Because most accountants don't want to do your bookkeeping.
They don't.
No, they don't.
They do not do your bookkeeping. You have to do your bookkeeping yourself.
Yep. Now, the thing is, if they do your bookkeeping, that's extra. You have to pay them.
Oh, big time extra.
So you have to do your own bookkeeping.
Yeah. And it makes it a lot easier.
And it's necessary also in understanding, you know, your business.
Yep.
We have to get in there and understand. And that's why I always tell people, even if you're not going to prepare your own taxes, at least make sure you have the forms. Go out and get the forms. You know, look over the forms. At least understand what they're asking for. You can get your forms, you know, you can go into the IRS's website. You can go into your local IRS office in your town if there is one. Or you can go to your public library and pick up forms. You can pick up as many forms as you like.
I stopped messing with taxes myself since 1979.
Oh, yeah. I stopped doing mine. After I was audited, I stopped doing my own. I just stopped.
I audited two or three times, no more than that, I think. But I mean, the last audit that I had, I went in there and I said to my husband, I said, you know what? Okay. This is a woman.
Mm-hmm.
She must have some kind of emotions, too, like I do. She must get a period. So let me talk. And I did. I pleaded with her, and I didn't even take an accountant in with me because at that point I felt confident about, you know, and I could justify everything that was on there, and I just said, this is this, and this, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I said, well, let's make arrangements to pay. That's what we'll do. So how do you want to break it down? And I just really took charge of the situation, and it made a huge difference.
Yeah.
But if they know that you're intimidated and they can intimidate you, then it becomes very difficult for you to function and focus. But I just really took charge, and she didn't know how nervous I was because I really asserted myself. You know what I mean?
Right. And when I was audited, I was never really nervous. I just thought, oh God, because I was in the middle of moving. I had just moved and I had stuff everywhere. So I was like, oh God, okay, now I got to pull out all this tax stuff. But they were really questioning one thing, and that was something. I had previously had my makeup kit stolen, and I was told by somebody from the IRS that I could write off that loss, and I wrote off that loss. So they were questioning that. And so then when I get to the office and I sit down with the guy, and they're going through all this stuff. So they're looking at all of my expenses. And so we're going through each one by one, and he wants to look at the receipts. He wants to see the receipts. So I'm taking out receipts, and I'm going through stuff. And then after about, you know, 20 or so receipts, you know, the guy's like, okay, that's, I trust that these numbers are right. Because at this point, he didn't want to see anymore because I had, you know, I had proof of every number. I could back it up.
Right.
So finally, at the end of the day, it was like maybe 3 or 4 o'clock. I have been in this guy's office since maybe 11:30.
Oh, God.
Yes, going through all of this stuff. And so at the end of the day, he finally brings up that write-off. And so at this point, I was pissed off because I was like, I sat here all day with you. If this is what you really wanted to know about, why didn't you just ask me about this? You know, instead of having me here all day going through all of this stuff. And so then he goes to get some, I don't know, some other person, his manager or something, because at this point he sees that I'm upset, so he's thinking it's a situation now. And so it was just, the whole situation was hilarious. It was hilarious. So finally, I mean, I get out of there. I had to pay it back. No big deal, but we could have figured this out by 1 o'clock or even 12:30, you know, instead of me sitting there the whole day.
You know, I'm an IRS accountant is who messed up my taxes once. So I think bottom line is you still have to understand.
Yep.
Now, what is going on in your business? That's the bottom
yep.
line.
And that publication 17 will explain everything you need to know. If you have any questions about anything, refer to publication 17 first before you even call their office.
And then also, again, the publications that I told you about earlier, Pub 334, the tax guide for small businesses, and then Pub 535, which is your business expenses, are very helpful as well. So if you have any questions about what to write off, you can find it in there. And
oh,
that will help.
Thanks for sharing those.
Yeah, I've always, you know, I have a, I go to the local IRS office every year and pick those publications up and pick up, you know, different tax forms or what have you. And I've always been referring to them all the time.
Are you an accountant?
Huh?
Aren't you an accountant?
Yes.
Former.
Well, once an accountant, always an accountant.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yes. So hopefully this has shed some light on a few things for you all tonight. And you know, again, if you have questions, you can refer to those publications. Like we said earlier, when in doubt and you don't know what to keep, just keep all of your receipts and then just you know, figure everything else out during tax time. But again, you know, like I said, look through those publications or call the IRS if you have questions. Because, again, sometimes different accountants, they don't know our business. I'm not saying that they all are that way, but there are a few who just really don't know. So they may write off everything you give them. So just have to be careful with that.
You know what? I've invested in neat receipts.
Yes.
I've bought neat receipts. Because the desktop model,
mm-hmm.
you can scan your receipts, all your documents, all your business cards, everything. It really works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can create reports with it. So I invested in that. And you can save the receipts and, you know. I believe that using those receipts, because you actually get a whole printout of the actual receipt, accepted by the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
I got so much paper here, I just want to dump some of this paper. I spent 2 days cleaning out my office and trying to get rid of paper.
Yeah, it's a lot. It really is.
Well, thank you so much, Marietta, for joining us tonight and helping us to help everyone get some questions answered about business receipts and taxes and the whole process. Again, if you have questions, I would definitely suggest, if you have especially tax questions, I would definitely suggest calling the IRS and specifically like now before they get extremely bogged down with phone calls. now would be a good time if you had questions to try to get some of your questions answered. And hopefully we've helped a little bit tonight as well. So with that being said, if you like tonight's show, go out and mark it as a favorite here on Blog Talk Radio. And again, stay tuned to our Facebook and Twitter pages for next week's guest. And we'll chat with you again next week. So have a great night.
Thank you. I'm going to go vote
right.
The Oscars now. I got to cast my ballot because we can do it online now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
cool.
We can vote on. No, you have the option of paper ballot or online. So.
Oh, nice. I'm looking forward to seeing who's going to win.
Huh?
So I'm looking forward to seeing who's going to win.
Oh, me too. I'm kind of excited this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know I'm going to be out of the country this year, so I have to figure out a way to do an Oscar party out of the country.
you said an Oscar party?
An Oscar party.
Oh, Oscar party. How long are you going to be out of the country?
I'll tell you later.
Okay.
My grandfather's turning 113, so...
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
it's
going to
be on my Facebook that I haven't visited yet.
What did you say? What
did you say? I said you're going to be in my favorite place that I haven't visited yet.
Right, I know. Yeah. So for 113, you know, we got to celebrate.
Of course. Absolutely.
He's going to be a teenager again. He ditched 100, now he's a teenager.
Uh-huh. That's a blessing.
Yep.
I still have the pen from last year.
What?
I still have the pen from last year's birthday.
Oh yeah, no, we got new ones this year. I just got them actually. I gotta get you guys.
Yeah. Save us one.
So nice.
Well, enjoy that. Enjoy, and tell us all about it when you get back.
I will. You guys have a good evening.
All right, you too. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.